Hello and welcome back to the Oxpub podcast. This is, if I'm correct, episode 6. We're starting to develop more of a schedule now with our uploading of the podcast. Today is quite a special episode. We'll get onto that in a second. First and foremost, though, as always, I'm joined by the two co-hosts of the show. We've got George and Archie. So, how are you doing, boys?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks.
Yeah,
It's
I'm
been,
good, chaps.
yeah, it's been a, it's been a, it's been an interesting couple of weeks in politics, I reckon.
Really has been, and there'll be all of that and more. We've got a packed show tonight, and that's not the only exciting thing happening on the show, because we've also got our second guest that we've ever had on the show. So today we've got Jake on the show. So say hello, Jake.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, so before we start off with the topics, we'll just have a little discussion with you about effectively well, a lot of things. First of all, I don't know, who are you and how'd you get into politics, I guess?
Well, I am Jake, and I got into politics through just seeing what was going on in the world and discussing it with my friends, and just I just like to see what's going on and how it's going to impact me in my future and what's going to happen in the near future as well.
Was it mainly Brexit that got you into politics?
Slightly, yes.
Yeah, that's like a pattern between like most of us. Like it's like Brexit that got us into politics.
Yeah,
I can confirm.
Yeah, because it just seemed like every adult around you would be talking about Brexit all the time. And it was, I guess, so I would have been in year 8 when Brexit happened. So I guess it was like the sort of time where you start to actually understand politics more.
Yeah, of course, yeah. It was an interesting time. I mean, it's still ongoing, as we know.
I'm not particularly proud of those times, I must add.
A dark history.
Fascist George.
Nigel Farage, George.
Yeah, you kept George.
Yeah, UKIP George, that's the one.
But yeah, anyway, Brexit still drags on to this very day. I mean I'm not even sure if we're gonna get a deal now. It's like it's
No,
looking
yeah, not
so
gonna get
it seems
much.
unlikely.
No, we're not. We're just. He just wants to leave at all costs now, really.
Especially
Get out
now
of the
that
way.
the EU have declared they want to take legal action.
Oh yeah, for breaking the
Oh, yeah. I
international
saw
treaty thing,
that,
yeah.
yeah.
That's kind of crazy. But anyway,
Yeah.
that's not on the topics.
Yeah.
We shall get for this for this episode, Jake supplied us with a couple topics, well not a couple, a few
Yes.
topics that we could talk about. And I'll read off the first one and you can tell us what you think,
And then we
Jake.
can just do some open discussion.
So first topic is allocation of funding within the USA. So Jake, take it away.
Well, I suggested this topic because I believe that there is a massive problem in the allocation of funding in the USA, which is leading to problems such as racism, due to like them spending a massive amount of money on the military and, well, frankly, unnecessary parts of the public sector, while not spending as much money that should be spent on lower income areas and schooling in those areas, as well as a better, cheaper healthcare service, whether it's private or nationalized. And yeah. So.
Yeah,
Fair enough. Yeah,
I would say I agree with most of those
I have
points.
to agree with that. I mean, I was just researching some statistics, and I got here that apparently this year they roughly spent 900 billion
I was
on
just
their
looking at that.
military. That's, I mean, that's substantially more than any other country in the world. In fact, most of the European countries put together equals that or less. It's just ridiculous, really.
So the Chinese military budget is just 178 billion, from
Jeez.
what I'm reading
Putin's
here.
perspective.
And then let's have a look at Russian.
And arguably, China is the next biggest powerhouse behind the USA. So
Russia.
I would say
can't
that's
ask that
pretty
again.
inarguable at this point, though.
Yeah,
I agree now. Yeah, I'm fully on board
yeah.
with this.
And I mean, like, the USA, sure, they can keep the biggest military in the world, like, as in the sense that they are effectively like the superpower of the world. But does it need to be
But like,
so ridiculously large?
what do they, but like, yeah, what do they do with the military apart from like snipe Iraqi children, like
I
occasionally, like,
reckon, literally,
yeah,
bomb
that's
leaders in
cool.
Baghdad.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point? They've just completely destroyed the Middle East, right? All they do is just ride boats around like Southeast Asia. Like, I don't understand the point. Like, I really don't get it.
I think they need to keep a substantial lead in their military just for the sake of international safety and in the sense that they're one of our biggest allies,
But I
whether
don't
you like it
know.
or not.
I don't know because America is like, oh, sorry, the US is like the is literally like the bit like the center for global trade, pretty much, right?
Yes,
I
exactly,
don't
yeah.
think I think that they can win via like economic warfare rather than like physical warfare. I'm like very skeptical of whether they need like a big military, let alone a military like at all. And whether
I
the military, although I do think that maybe a military could be good if it was for like domestic issues. Like the military shouldn't be like rolling around like Iraq. Oh, sorry, like Iraq
agree.
bombing people.
I
It
agree
should it should be
completely.
it should be doing stuff like, I don't know, like helping homeless people and building shelters and like handing out food and COVID tests. Like this is what the military should be doing. It should be for serving the people, not going out and serving like the interests of corporations trying to sell you weapons the whole time.
That's
Like,
what I was going to say. If
yeah.
they want their military to be the big talking point of their country, if they want to properly address themselves as the force of the world, like the military for the democratic societies in the world, then yeah, they should focus more on the actual people as opposed to gains of
The way I see
the
it is that they need to keep it essentially just as a show and a prevention mechanism to other, well, superpowers that might eventually want to intervene. But I don't think they need to
But
be funding it nearly as much as they do, even to do that.
yeah, I think it's like the whole idea of the military industrial complex, like the idea that like they have to keep themselves in like a kind of state of perpetual war and perpetual of funding like the military so that like the all these like companies, all these corporations can make money off of it. Like I think Dwight D. Eisenhower, after the death of Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin, talked about how like he said this quote, "Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies in the final sense a theft from those who hunger and are not fed." And like I agree with that. I don't see why you should spend billions upon billions of dollars on the military when you literally have people in your own country that cannot afford to like feed themselves and like that kind of deal. Like I don't get it. I think it's a matter of priorities and they've got it all wrong.
That's true, especially when their Medicare option is or Medicaid and their children's health insurance programs combined are worth about half of the military spending or less in 2017. That's all good. It's all that's the right way to do it, isn't it?
But Jake, I was
Worry
wondering what
more
you
about the military.
thought about how like how it caused like the socioeconomic problems.
Well, the main problem that I can see it causing is the schooling and childcare issue, where you have. So what I've read is that schooling in America is based on the zone you live
Yeah,
in.
it's property taxes.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so you pay a property tax to your state, and then or your state, and then that property tax is used to fund your local school. So then the lower income areas have really poorly funded schools, and then the higher income areas have higher funded schools, which just creates even more of a divide. But
Yeah.
if you like, you could even halve the military budget and it would still be like over double the size of China's.
Yeah. If you. So I've got a
And
stat here. I was just going to say that the US's military budget is the same as China, India, Russia, Saudi Arabia, France, Germany, UK, Japan, South Korea, and Brazil combined.
yeah, I think it's a
Yeah.
little bit unnecessary at this point.
Yeah, for sure. And like, yeah, I completely agree with you, Jake, because like, obviously through like the like through like Jim Crow laws and like redlining and that kind of thing, black people and other minority communities have been forced into poorer areas, and then because they're in poorer areas, they get poorer schools, and then like that decreases like the social mobility that they can do. And that kind of thing. Yeah, and that's definitely a very, very big problem.
I
But
think
yeah.
also the lack the schooling, the lower the schooling funding, then you've got worse education, which creates lower unemployment, which encourages more criminal activity,
Yeah, no, I agree.
which creates this stereotype which has trickled down from the very top of the government and has ended up with the well race well race racism.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I think that's like I'm a big supporter of the idea of systemic racism and critical race theory being like a very like real thing. I don't see much evidence against it and that kind of thing. But yeah, like but ultimately I believe that like 'cause race essentially is a made up concept. Like it doesn't really exist. It was like essentially just made up by like I don't know, I'm gonna go a bit weird here. George might disagree with me on here, but I believe it was made up by like the ruling class to like try and divide people and try and get people to fight amongst each other so that they realize they because like if you're fighting amongst each other, you're not gonna fight against the people who are really oppressing you and that kind of thing. And I think that's the same with like the idea with gender as well, like gender being a social construct, or like nationality being also a social construct and that kind of thing. It's all these like little things that were designed to define us, because like the owning class, they need someone at the bottom to do the work that nobody else wants to do, right? And the best way to do that is to make everyone fight amongst each other. And I think that's why like racism was like truly perpetuated throughout the government and throughout other institutions.
I guess if you do look back at the roots of it, all that does make quite a bit of sense, really. I don't know what more to say.
But Jake, I was wondering what you thought about like you talked about like public like what was it public services that weren't needed, that kind of thing. I was wondering what you meant by that.
I'm not really sure. I think my main point is the military. But then on top of that, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
Fair enough.
so ba
Just,
baseline, baseline. I think we agree
it's
that more money needs to be put into these
public
impoverished
services.
communities and public
Well,
services. Yeah.
indeed.
Okay, well, that was a good talk, good agreement to get off on, I
That
think.
was huge
Yeah.
agreement because it could get heated later down the line. So see
Anyway,
what
up to the next big epic topic, which is the US
happens.
presidential election.
Yes. And yes, of course, the recent debate. You all know about it.
Yeah,
So
epic
let's go.
moment. What are your thoughts on it, Jake?
Well, personally, I don't like either of them,
No, me neither.
and I'm not even sure which way I swing. So
Ooh.
I put it in there because I wanted to hear your guys' opinion to try and give me
All
a
right, okay.
better idea of what I should
Okay, George,
think
do you want to go
because
first then?
Well, I it just the whole thing just pissed me off, to be honest. I just can't deal with it. It's just an absolute disaster. And I detest them both pretty much. And yeah, as I've said before, I'd much rather have had a Yang.
But, Yang's 2024.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But I guess just based on my more conservative principles and nothing else, I'd probably just go with Trump. But I can see he's a disaster as a president.
Yeah, I mean, I've got.
I don't even want to have an opinion, to be honest.
That's very similar to me.
Fair enough. I've got differing opinions to the both of you. I'm quite fixed. I mean, I'm extremely fixed on Joe Biden, to be honest. I don't know. I cannot compare Joe Biden to Donald Trump. I cannot see that as a fair comparison to make. At least one of them has got the political experience that is needed for the job. Personally, I'm also, I think his policies are quite reasonable, akin to mine. But I don't know. Donald Trump's just, I mean, he's made a mess of the country in the past 4 years, and I think it is a no-brainer that he has to go. He's not educated. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's putting the country at risk constantly. I mean, he came out of the hospital the other day, and now he's saying, oh, don't worry about COVID. It's not dangerous. I mean, I've had it, and I've beaten it. And he doesn't set the country on the right path. I think if you listen to Joe Biden, a lot of the time you can't make out what he's saying, but I've listened to quite a few of his recent speeches and like rallies, and I think, well, not rallies, but just speeches in general, and I think that he's starting to pick up the pace a bit. And I mean, you can see the polls. I mean, the polls don't mean much, don't go by the polls, but at the moment he's leading in all of the polls, and I just think that his political views are in terms of progressiveness, you know, they're arguably one of the most progressive out of any US president ever. That's not that progressive, but like in terms of economics, I mean, I don't know why, like George, for example, I don't know why you wouldn't go for him, because like I know he's not as conservative as Trump, but he's not left wing by any means. I mean, his taxation policy is that no one below 400 grand would see an increase on tax whatsoever. I'm not sure about the other specifics, but I know that one for sure.
I reckon he's essentially an American Keir Starmer. In terms of American to UK politics, and
he's like,
that's not a fair comparison.
He's like a Nick Clegg, if anyone, if you're like comparing people.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe a Lib Dem then.
Yeah, but he'd be like Lib Dem.
Yeah, he'd definitely Lib Dem. Okay, yeah. Yeah, he would not be a Labour.
Definitely not be Labour.
No.
But yeah, what do you think, Archie?
I'm echoing George here. I hate both of the candidates. I think they're both awful. But as Bryn said, I don't think Biden is comparable to Trump. To me, I'm going to be honest, I was a big Bernie supporter. I still am, but that dream is currently dead.
Yep.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen for the next. It's not going to happen this election. Might happen
it
next
won't
election.
Happen ever.
It won't happen ever, but like, no, but like a more left leaning. But to me, as you've said, Bryn, Biden is the most progressive presidential candidate there has been so far, right? Presidential candidate, right? Not like, well, presidential nomination, sorry, not candidate. And I think for me, there's like a simple choice here. It's the choice between Biden kind of weird neoliberal kind of progressivism or fascism, and I don't know, I think I know which one I would like to choose.
I mean, literally in the so many of Trump's interviews recently, he's been talking about how if he loses the election, he will likely not even accept the result.
I have a theory about this.
He's been rallying his supporters, sorry, not the country, but his supporters, for the same idea. So now he's got into their heads that he cannot lose that election. He can't lose it.
That's very similar to the situation that happened in Venezuela and we all know how that
Yeah, no, I agree. But yeah, like Trump, we've talked about Trump and fascism on this show before. I don't know if you agree with us, Jake, but I think this is like very much the rise of like an American form of fascism. And I think this is like literally one of the last chances they have to stop it before it gets even worse.
Biden is our only hope.
Biden is, I never thought we'd get here, but Biden is the only hope against fascism, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. But I do have a theory on what's going to happen on the election. I don't know if you guys agree, but basically it revolves around the Supreme Court. So what I think is going to happen is Joe Biden will win, but Trump will stay in power. And I think how he'll do that is that he's going to get his Supreme Court nomination through, right?
Yeah.
And then he's going to say the mail-in ballots were fraudulent, right? And then the Supreme Court's going to agree with him. So they're going to like reverse the election and like get rid of Joe Biden. And I don't know. I think that's going to happen, and that would be awful.
That would be scary. That would be very, very scary.
It's so ridiculous that in 2020 they don't have a secure way of mail ballots to a point where Donald Trump can say it's fraudulent.
And get his entire support. And apparently now they believe only the Democrats can disrupt the election process. The Republicans can't do it. Only the Democrats, apparently.
Yeah, of course. The baby-killing Democrats. The baby-killing communists.
Yeah.
But yeah, to me, it's a choice between policies I don't really like or fascism.
And also, there's a point I put in before, whereas if you are voting for Joe Biden, you're not just voting for him. You're voting for the Democrats, which at this point, there are a lot of... If he surrounds himself with people who know what they are talking about, I mean, let's be honest. To be honest with you, I'm kind of referring to Bernie Sanders here, but other people as well, you know, there's a lot of them at the moment who are suited for the job. So if he gets voted in, he can be surrounded by those sorts of people who can help him to get the country going again.
Yeah. And I think
with Trump, he doesn't listen to anyone.
And I think, so like my goal, like politically, is to like introduce more like social democrat kind of like platforms, like more left-leaning platforms, more progressive platforms, right? And I think the only way for that to work, I'd rather it be a battle between the left and like liberalism than to be left versus fascism. So I think for like the progressive wing of the Democrat Party to flourish, we need Donald Trump out of power and Biden in power.
Yeah, fair enough. Do you have anything to say on the matter, George? Anything? Because I know you're the Trump leader.
First of all, based on my personal experience with fascism, and as I, having been a fascist, essentially, and like knowing people that are... I don't think he is, or at least he's not in policy or in ideas fascist. I think he goes along with what you're saying, he might, which I'm not so sure as to whether he's gutsy enough to do.
I don't know. I'm thinking indecisions he is.
Like, I don't think him addressing himself as a fascist. He's not that case of keeping it.
Yeah, but that's the point. That's like kind of the idea of fascism. It's not like a concrete set of ideals. It differs from country to country.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean,
I think
I don't
he's
know.
A... Go on, Jake.
Very level fascist. Like, he's not... He's... Yeah, I'd say he's not far enough to be considered...
He's cut out there, Jake.
Like, but his policies are leaning towards fascism. Or his personal opinion is leading towards fascism.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. And I think it's going to get even worse, the next thing. And let's be real, the riots and the protests are going to continue to happen if Donald Trump gets into power. And I can only imagine that's going to lead to a further crackdown in state power and that kind of thing. And me, myself, I don't really like the government that much as a whole. But yeah, like, it's not... It won't. I don't think it'll be great.
But I think there's definitely a problem in America at the moment where the left and the right have become way too divided. So if the Democrats get into power, then Republicans are going to riot. If Republicans get into power, then the Democrats,
I think the difference between Biden and Trump is that with Trump, what he's doing is he's actually getting his supporters to go against the Democrats and to go against the left wing in general. Whereas with Biden, what he's trying to, although albeit not perfectly well, but he's trying to actually get people together, because that's how you're going to win at the end of the day. And I think that's what is one of the big things that differs between the two of them. Is one of them is
A fascist tactic to make an out group and an in group, and then say we're against them, and whatnot. And I think it's very important to remember that Democrats are not left wing, in any. Thing. This isn't like a battle between left wing and right wing in American politics. This is a battle between center right and right.
But to scale of American politics. Because if you think that the whole of American politics is all right, basically.
Most of electoral politics is though.
Yes. Yeah. Or obviously people have personal views that are very left or very right, but a lot, electoral American politics is right, and then it's about placing people
on the spectrum
in that perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Right. Yeah. You're right. You're right. But yeah, what's your prediction then, Jake, for the election? Who do you think is going to win? All the news outlets are listening in now. They want to hear your prediction.
This is big.
I'm sure. CNN and Fox are waiting on this.
Trump is listening right now to this program.
He'll message?
He'll probably resign if I don't say him.
Yeah, because he's just going to lose anyway.
For that reason, I will say that I reckon Biden's going to win.
Yeah. For me, it's going to be a Biden majority, of substantial majority even. I think that will happen. Either that or Trump.
Do you think they'll flip the Senate as well? I'm thinking they might.
Yeah, I think potentially that will happen as well. I think that it's either going to be Biden majority by a substantial amount, which will give Trump the reason to say, look, this isn't right. This has been fraudulent. Obviously, it won't be fraudulent, but or he will have won it by a thin margin. Trump,
I think it will be a Biden kind of, not thin, but not like huge.
Well, a bit like a Trump win in 2016.
Yeah, kind of deal. Well, no, but even that wasn't that was a pretty thin margin, considering that Hillary won the popular vote.
Yeah, actually, good point, yeah. By, 3 million votes as well.
Yeah.
Do you have any set-in-stone opinions on who to vote for, Jake, at this point?
Have you been swayed by our brilliant arguments?
Yeah.
I don't really have a massive opinion on American politics, to be honest. I just hope that what they end up doing is best for the rest of the world, because it's very clear that a lot of American political decisions have a massive impact on the rest of the world.
I agree, and I'm a big fan of multilateral trade policies and that kind of deal, and bringing people together. So I'm a very, very big supporter of the EU. I'm big supporter of other I'm a big supporter of transatlantic alliances. I'm a big supporter of trans-Pacific alliances and all of that kind of deal. And Trump so far has pulled out of nearly every single treaty that has been signed. It's ridiculous. It's I think that China is beginning to become a real problem, a very, very real problem. And the only way we can take China on as the West, quote unquote, is by coming together. And Trump will not do that. He's not even just stayed there. He's pulled America away from the rest of the world.
Exactly. Especially when America is the country that, in theory, should be leading that charge. Against
with their enormous military budget.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. $900 billion a year.
But I'm not a very big fan of protectionism and stuff like that. I think it's stupid.
Yeah. If you look back through, like, the previous 50 years, yeah. During the Cold War, like, America very much led a trade bloc with Western Europe, while Russia had a trade bloc in Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
And it seems like China have started to, like, create their own trade bloc in Asia.
Yeah, and in Africa as well.
Yeah. While America just seem to be closing off their economy. Why? Like, they keep imposing these new tariffs and...
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
This is quite a weird reference, but I'm trying to collect, like, American sports trading cards. Yeah. And when I've been, like, looking online, I'll see a product that's, like, 30 quid, but then it has another 30 quid of import tariffs on it. And yeah, then, so you ended up paying double the price.
Yeah.
I was looking at
because of tariffs.
Yeah, I was looking at lacrosse equipment the other day, and and the shipping bills were 300 quid.
Oh my god!
Jesus!
What do they wrap this lacrosse stuff in?
Yeah. They come in Louis Vuitton cases.
Yeah, exactly.
Each one.
Private jet flies it in.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I'm still sad that we've left the EU. I still think that is an unbelievably dumb decision.
Yeah.
We made a couple of weeks ago. We made a trade deal with Japan.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Which accounted for 0.7% of what trade that the EU brought us.
Yeah, it's like it was like worth, like, I remember reading a figure like it's worth like 15 billion. Like,
yeah, the case of leaving the EU is that they
it's tiny.
They argued once we left the EU that we could make deals with the rest of the world, but we're not really doing that.
No,
and it was our best option.
I think that's the main problem.
Yeah, but I think that also we're just better off in the EU. Let's be fair.
Yeah,
I
mean,
if we were
my European identity has been taken from me now. I'm so sad.
If we were actually pushing for trade deals and we were pushing to find people to do business with and trying to trying to enhance our economy as much as we possibly can, I think it could, a push maybe end well, but we're not doing anything.
We've had 4 years to get one deal with the EU.
Exactly.
And we haven't even got that.
I think a massive problem was that we left the EU and David Cameron resigned straight away.
Yes, I am.
And then there was a general election a year after that, was it?
Yes, it was.
Where the Conservatives had a minority government where they had a coalition with DUP.
It was the year afterwards, sorry.
Yeah.
Where they couldn't actually do anything because nothing they put towards the government passed.
Yeah. And then a vote of no confidence?
Their fault for making terrible, terrible trade deals that they've then decided to put towards the government. And then that obviously just carried on and carried on. And it was only just last year that the Conservatives gained a majority. And that was when Brexit started to look like it was going to happen. And then we left the EU. And then obviously a global pandemic suddenly decided to pop up in China.
What a day it was. Nigel Farage's Brexit bash.
Yeah, that was
I know a few people that went. Anyway, I think we didn't leave at all based on economics. We left solely on people's patriotism. And I think that didn't help the matter at all. I think no one thought of the economic side particularly. And as I said, with David Cameron resigning and with anyone with any involvement and any pre-made relations sort of being torn apart, if you like, it just doesn't, it was all a shambles in the way it was done. And what people voted based on.
I still think patriotism is so dumb. But that's for another.
Definitely.
Yeah, that is for another. Another story.
Yeah.
What do we want to move on? Or
yeah, we'll move on. COVID. What is it? COVID second wave. COVID
second wave in the specifically in the UK, I think. Is that right, Jake?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. So yeah, you can just take the floor beginning. I don't know. Yeah. What do you wanna?
Well, I suggested this about a week ago, maybe. Just under a week ago.
Not been last Friday, actually.
That was, yeah. So that was before the news today from Scotland, which it appears that Scotland has become our early warning signs as to what's going to happen in England next.
Yeah, that is essentially what has been going on this whole the whole time during the coronavirus pandemic.
The government strategy has just been to see what Scotland does.
It's been very hit and miss about what happens, really, because obviously university cities have started to become affected now more. And with restaurants being closed at 10 p.m. I don't really see how that has I don't see how that's helped the situation at all.
COVID only comes out past 10, Jay.
obviously. It's a night out. Because have you seen the video from, it was a couple weeks ago, from Oxford Circus at 10 p.m. It was like the first day that the 10 p.m. restriction got put in.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was the week where students started going back to uni.
Oh yeah.
People, so there was a video that came out of Oxford Circus at 10 p.m. and the pavements were just packed and the tubes were packed because everybody had left at 10 p.m. instead of people leaving like sporadically during the night.
That was, oh my god, that's
they have not implemented a single good restriction, really. We were talking about it a lot, what I said about how restrictions that they have implemented are just to say, look, we are doing something about it. These are extreme restrictions, although they're not, so that when the proper restrictions are needed to be implemented, Boris can come out and say, this is your fault, okay, I implemented these restrictions, you failed to, and now you've got to pay the price. Stupid, really. And now we are in the midst of and a
14,000 cases yesterday.
Well, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Although there is a significant, from the first wave, when deaths were clearly going up at the same rate as cases.
Yeah.
It seems that either the most vulnerable people have already died,
or like they're protecting themselves.
Themselves.
Yeah. That also, there's, I mean, this isn't the full excuse.
Holy crap.
But there has been an increase in mass testing, although at the moment it's in absolute shambles.
What's up, George?
Yeah.
No, so on the 4th of October, it went, so on the 3rd of October, we had like 12,000 cases, and then it doubled on the 4th to 22,000.
That's because they had to like add a bunch of cases that missed.
Oh yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, that was the lag. But that being said, they are going up, and they are
14,000.
First lockdown stage or higher, actually.
No,
much
it's
higher.
Like much higher, it's like double.
Much double, yeah. So, and the deaths are probably soon to follow. I mean, there's always a lag with deaths. He's just saying when the deaths rise, that's when we act.
Yeah, until then,
which is kind of a weird thing to say.
Yeah,
but I don't know. It's like, I'm skeptical on like the whether a second lockdown would work, though. Because the first lockdown work, and so
it was a it was effective in the short run, but like overall, I know what you mean. It took a toll on people. And
Of course. Yeah, we talked about this last time, actually.
Yeah, we agreed,
I think.
Yeah.
However, they do need tighter restrictions. You go.
Yeah, they do need tighter restrictions. And I do think they need to cancel the GCSEs.
I was going to ask you about what you thought about Scotland cancelling their National Five exams, which is the equivalent to GCSEs.
We from the very start, Oxford podcast have been very much in support of cancelling GCSEs and having school restrictions. Like, on a serious note, although it's like kind of a meme to be like, oh, I don't want to take GCSEs and whatnot, like, of course we don't. But I don't think that people are able to. We've missed so much school. The school we're having at the moment isn't really enough. It's not great.
And it's also very, very unreliable. Because at any moment, someone contracts their disease and you're all off.
And it's going to be a completely unequal system this year, because you'll have people who were in schools where a big group of people contracted it. They've been off for 2 weeks. They've missed the 2 weeks of learning that we had. It's just completely off kilter.
What they have to do is cancel them and teacher predicted. That's the only way to.
I completely agree.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but I've had quite a few lessons where there hasn't been a teacher. Because they just have to self-isolate while they get a test.
I've had that.
First weeks were okay, but I'm starting to notice it a lot more now.
There's a lot of people missing from lessons as well. I've noticed
there are. Every day you come in, there is several people who would be there.
It's so easy to catch a cold, especially as we're getting into the colder seasons.
People will
get colds all the time. It's inevitable, and obviously you can't, if you have any symptoms, then you can't come into school. So
not good. And I guess we kind of touched on this last time, but I don't know, I just don't feel properly safe in school, if you know what I mean. At the moment, the cases are doubling every 2 weeks or so. And yet we're all packed into classrooms of 30 odd people. And it's not just about getting the coronavirus, it's about getting any other infection. I mean, just having to stay at home until you get a test result. Missing school.
Obviously, tests are very hard to find.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They come few and far between, to be sure.
Have you guys bigger class sizes at the moment?
Yes.
No.
I don't know. Probably not, to be honest. But some of them have felt.
Some of them have felt cramped for me. I don't know why.
I agree with you, to be honest. Not all of them, but yeah.
And the restrictions that they're using in school just aren't working. The way that we're are you guys in a year group bubble?
Yeah.
It's just so stupid. I don't understand. And then they say it's staggered leaving, but everyone pretty much leaves at the same time.
We come into year 8, 9, and 12 every day that we leave, and year 10 for that matter. I've been in contact with one of every year apart from year 7.
Yeah, year 7s are the only ones that they keep apart pretty much.
Our year 7s got sent home.
They were talking about that at our school today, actually.
In an assembly, team mentioned it.
Not good at all. I think we can all agree that it's not in a good position. The country's not in a good position. Schools aren't in a good position.
Very cringe.
Bad. Yeah. Should we move on?
Yeah, we kind of can.
Yes.
What's the next topic?
Let's have a look, shall we?
Will cause some contention.
I don't know what's coming up. private schooling.
There you go. George has alluded to the next subject, private schooling. So,
go ahead, Jake.
The floor is yours.
Well, this topic came into my head when I fell down a rabbit hole on YouTube of watching this TV show about students from private schools going to spend a week in a state school and students from state schools going to spend a week in a private school. And they mentioned the fact that there's a £5 million budget for each state school, and then private schools have a £9 million budget, which is quite substantial.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about whether private schools are right, or whether they create even more divided society.
Can I just can I put my opinion out here first?
Yeah, you go first, like... George. Yeah.
So, firstly, I'd like to say I'm completely in favour. I've got nothing against private schools, and I think, firstly, it does take a relatively substantial strain off of public schooling, however, I do realise the funding difference. But I think that if you want the best for your child, you should be able to spend more to get that. And I think if you can afford that, I think it's perfectly fine. Also, I think that oh my god, sorry, go on, I've forgotten.
That's all right. You can go, Archie.
Yeah. So, I don't like private schools.
I agree with George on the basis that if you can afford, I don't know if I like them or not, but I agree with the fact that if they're there, then you should, like, and you can afford to pay to go to a private school, then that should definitely be an option, because
go on, George.
But
also, universities look down on private schooling. I think
that is not true. That is absolutely not true. What are you talking about?
Oxford University, I think it was 75% state schools last year.
What?
Or something like that.
But what do you mean 70? Of course it will be 75% state schools. 9%. What is it?
No, yeah, but what is it?
6%. Yeah, 6 to 7% of the UK population attend private schools.
If you are put in a group and one of you's from a private school, one of you's from a state school, and you got same grades, they'll take the state schooler, because it basically shows a higher level of learning.
No, but those stats are just based on, like we just said,
yeah,
the vast majority of people are going to a state school, so the vast majority of people from the state school will go to the university.
I can give you some numbers about job positions if you want, George. 74% of judges went to private schools, 32% of MPs went to private schools, 70% of generals from the military went to private schools, 70% of barristers went to private schools, 62% of high-level people within the medicine industry went to private schools, 50% of people in politics went to private schools, and 35% of CEO/chief financial officers went to private schools. That doesn't sound like a proportional split. That doesn't sound like they're being bullied by the university system to me.
It seems like
these schools where they're given like more access to connections and more access to the higher tier of society, right? They're the ones that are ending up in positions of power, right? I don't know if someone that went to a private school their entire life would represent me. Well, I'm not sure if I'd want them to be running my life, essentially. I don't think I want them to be in charge, because it's not the same, is it? And I don't think you should be given a better chance at life just by virtue of your parents having more money. I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
But you can't stop that. It's like if you take away private schools, you'll get a massive increase in private tutors for wealthier kids.
Oh yeah, I completely agree that you can't get rid of private tutors. But I still do think that they should be put in the same scenario as everyone else, because private tutors won't replace private schools. That's like, that just won't happen. Of course there'll be an increase, but it won't be the same. It won't be the same level of like connections and like credibility that you get from private schools. And I think
personally,
that's one of the main problems.
My whole thing is, I just don't see a problem in, if you've got the money and you want to spend it giving your child the
but
best
you're doing it expense of other people
life.
George, you can say, oh, if you've got the money you can do this, but you've got to think of how, if they've got the money to do this, they're doing it at the expense of someone that doesn't have the money to do that.
But firstly, if you're like clever enough or if you're excelling at something. Private schools are offering more scholarships than ever now. I think that's
yeah, but
one
bonus.
Scholarships
make up a very small amount of people that go to private schools.
I'm not so sure. I need to look at the numbers, but I think it's actually... I don't think it's as...
And scholarship doesn't mean you go absolutely free.
A lot of the time it does. If you get a bursary, you can... It depends on your income, obviously. And depending on that, they calculate what you are going to spend or whatever. Or if you're not going to. But, like, there are plenty of schemes that help more disadvantaged kids get into private schools. That's all I'm trying to say.
Not nearly enough to be even close to proportional. I've got a better way to help everyone is by just not having them.
And then
you can't. I don't think that'd work because you'd still get kids from wealthier backgrounds having much wealthier opportunities.
Okay, yeah, I agree, but it's a step in the right direction. I don't think you can say like, oh, if we get rid of this problem, there'll still be this problem. One of the problems is worse, and I think we should get rid of that.
Fair enough.
I don't think it'd account for enough of a difference, and well, I think it would be displacing such a large amount of students. It's just, I don't see the logic in it personally, and I don't think it's enough of a big problem for it to the extent that it should be changed.
The things I just listed out, like 74% of judges being from private schools. That's ridiculous. I think that's fair.
I do agree with the politics one. I think it should be a bit more, because I think, they're meant to be representing everyone, and I can see why that might be. I can see why people have a problem with that, but with like CEOs or whatever, personally, I don't see a problem.
Well, I think one thing that we can all agree on here in this subject is that the public sector of schooling doesn't receive enough funding.
True.
Yeah. And that's got to change.
It's not managed right either, as we've seen with GCSEs and whatever.
Yeah, very, very true.
It's got to be changed.
There's a big reason why private schools are like give a significantly better education than just public schools is due to the fact that the majority of people who go to private schools also board, which means that they're there 24/7, which means the private school have control, the school has control over them 24/7. So they know exactly what they're doing. So they can be like, you've got to do your homework. You've got to do this revision. And then it also encourages people to get, because they don't have like a computer to go home to and play video games on, it encourages them to go and do like extracurricular activities which help on their CV, which like public schools just can't do because they only have students in between 8:30 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if there was an increase on spending in the public schools, there would be more scope for extracurricular activities which could then help students' chances of getting these higher skilled jobs that are dominated by the private school community.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. But yeah, schooling is very similar to healthcare for me. But yeah, that was an interesting one for sure. Did you want to talk about the north-south divide in the UK now, Jake?
Oh yeah.
Yes, well, briefly, I just wanted to see what your guys' opinion is on, like, the difference between opportunities in the South and opportunities in the North, where there's clearly, like, an education gap there, an employment gap, and then a income gap.
Yeah.
And how that affects communities in the North.
Mm-hmm.
Where in places like Liverpool, Manchester, Newcastle, you have significantly more crime than you do in, well, crime like based on population, because obviously London, there's going to be more crime because there's a massive population.
Proportional
to population, there's more crime in the north than there is in the south.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, I mean, if you look back through time, the North has been more divided. There's been a divide, and the North has been the region that has seen the worst conditions. And any statistic will show you that as well.
But
If you go
yeah,
to
yeah.
any industrial city, like Crewe, like you mentioned them, yeah, there's a divide, and not enough is really being done to fund the North as much
Yeah,
as
I think
the South.
it was a problem before, and then it became like a very real definite problem after our best friend Margaret Thatcher came along.
Yes,
Yes.
especially I think as the British Empire started to decrease and we were exporting less products,
Yeah.
places like Liverpool, where they basically relied on producing stuff in
Industry.
factories, and
Yeah.
then like there's so many dockyards in Liverpool, and you just see them, and like most of them don't have any boats really going in and out of them, apart from like cruise boats, basically.
Yeah.
So it's definitely become a more real problem, especially as places like London have now got these like massive financial areas like Canary Wharf, where they export financial services across the world, and then places in the north don't export barely anything. And I think it's just a matter of like more investment up there so that they can have the industries to make more
Yeah,
money.
and
A big part of the problem, I think, is literally as simple as it is, proximity to the capital. Because
yes, that's what I was very much so.
every company you can think of has a base in London.
Yeah,
There are so
it's the
many,
second la
there's
it's the
such a
it's the first or
variety of
second
jobs in
largest
London.
financial center in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the fact that that's where, I don't know what percentage it is, but that's where most of the jobs in the UK will be based, at least.
Or at
So
least
think
around the
about
home
that.
counties.
I don't see why it has to be like that though,
No, I
because in
agree.
America, you have New York, LA, you've like
Seattle.
there's so many big cities
Yeah.
where you've
Chicago.
got a lot of like goods and services being produced all the time. But then, and in places like Germany, like you've got massive countries where you've got two separate cities that have good producers, and it creates like a then a wider circle around those cities that creates more prosperity,
Yeah,
which
exactly.
if you had more prosperity in places like Liverpool and Birmingham and Newcastle, then it would create more prosperity in the wider area.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna talk about Birmingham because I guess for the government standpoint, they are trying to get Birmingham on par with being the second economic powerhouse city. Okay. There's a lot of strategy really worked. One of the main ones, as we all know, is HS2, which is completely flopped, trying to connect the north to the south, and particularly Birmingham, because they want it to, I mean, they say they want it to be that second powerhouse, like you said, with New York and LA, or with practically any other European developed country. But yeah, it's just not really working, and to act accordingly to try and actually settle something.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think the main problem that happened was, like, Margaret Thatcher came along and said, okay, she rightly said that the coal industry needed to be shut down because it wasn't working. Let's be real. But what happened, she came along, shut everything down, and then did nothing to reinvest within those places. She was like, it was the whole neoliberal idea of just let the markets fix it, right? And that just it didn't happen. And now it's led to this very, very, very clear divide between the north and the south. And I think it doesn't help as well that London is not only the financial capital, but also the political capital and the cultural capital of the UK. It's not like we're in it's not like in America where DC is the political capital. New York is the financial capital, and then LA is the cultural capital. We just have all of everything centered in one place.
That's why they say that London is effectively another.
Yeah, London is effectively another country to the rest of the UK.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is crazy. But we need to reinvest within the North. I don't see how that would be a downside for anyone, really.
No, exactly.
Even from a capitalist viewpoint.
It draws in more tourism. Like, I don't know, and more tourism, more people coming to work, more. Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, you're right. I don't know why they wouldn't.
It also increases more jobs up there, which is what a lot of people who live in those areas
need. Yeah,
were like complaining about, and that's like the cultural issue behind people voting for Brexit was they basically got lied to by saying that people were stealing their jobs.
True.
And they thought, I'm unemployed, so
yeah, it must be true.
It's a similar case with the previous general election in 2019. If you look at the voting statistics, a lot of the industrial north, formerly industrial north, swayed their opinions from Labour to the Conservatives for very similar reasons.
Yeah, it's that I was reading a funny thing, the idea of the Schrodinger's immigrant, where a lot of these people view the immigrants on one hand being lazy, like kind of welfare queens leeching off our public health system, but at the same time being super hardworking, low wage job stealers. And it's like, somehow they're both at the exact same time. And like, I've spoken to a lot of, because I have family from up north, and a lot of their views are very similar. They're like relatively center left, kind of like Labour leaning on most of their economic policies, but they're for Brexit and anti-immigration. And I've kind of identified that as a pattern between them. And I think it is because of the frankly deciduous lies of the Tories.
Yeah, and they knew they could use that to their favour, and they did in this election. We saw Boris securing the big majority that he needed.
Yeah, and Priti Patel recently saying that she's going to redo the refugee system. So it needs to be firm but fair.
Goodness me. I don't know. Anything more you want to say, George?
No, I don't. I've not. I need to read up more on the North South.
Yeah.
Just on the whole general situation. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Yeah, what do you think, Jake?
I think a lot of the points made have been like, you can't really argue that it's a bad thing to put more investment into the North, and you can't argue that the North should be forgotten about, basically.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah,
next issue. I was going to jump to, because we're kind of running out of time now. We've been speaking for an hour already. But I was going to talk to you about extremist group issues in the US.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. That goes back to the whole
election. Trump fiasco. Go ahead.
So this came into my mind after Trump was asked a question in the debate about condemning fascist groups like the
Proud Boys,
KKK.
And the Proud Boys.
And the Proud Boys. And he then turned the question into an attack on Antifa.
Yes.
Which made me think about the differences between the two sides, where you've got the anti-fascist group, which is just a far left group, basically. Well, it's not exactly a group, but
it's the difficult people to that define.
The people that mainly identify themselves with Antifa seem to be very far left, and then obviously you've got people in the Proud Boys and the KKK who identify themselves as extremely far right, and there's a massive clash between them, and obviously both sides are wrong, and it doesn't help when you've got a president who won't even talk about one side that he's been constantly linked to, and you'd think it makes so much sense for him to just condemn it, but he constantly sidesteps questions that seem to be pretty simple to answer.
Yeah, especially when... are you gone?
I was just saying, like, he even told them to stand back and stand by.
Yeah.
And also, he said, like, I think it was at the Unite the Right Charlottesville rally that happened a couple years back. I think he said there were, like, there were bad people on both sides.
Decent people, didn't he say?
Yeah, no, decent people on both sides, sorry. And it's like, what... What are you talking about?
Yeah, that makes absolutely no sense. The reason he does this is because he knows... I mean, first of all, you could argue that he is in favour of them quite a bit. Second of all, is because he knows that they support him. And he will not...
definitely.
He tries to U-turn around the question as much as possible by saying, look, Antifa are bad, so I'm against this radical group, so you can keep your support to me. And that's also... I mean, that goes back to the fascist discussion about Trump rallying his supporters against certain groups and certain beliefs.
Especially after Trump and Ted Cruz, Britain's favourite senator.
Oh, yeah. Ted Cruz. God love him.
when they, like, labelled Antifa as a terrorist organisation. I mean, one, they are the first people to designate Antifa as an organisation in the first place. But that's besides the point. It's like in the bill that they wrote, they used both Antifa and left-wing activism interchangeably. And that, like, implies to me that it's just an idea, like, he's trying to, like, rally people against just the, like, leftism as a whole. And, like, it almost seems, I mean, this might be a bit of a fascist reach here, but it almost seems like he just did it so that he could just, like, say that any, like, left-wing people are then terrorists. And then,
he tried to make the Black Lives Matter movement and, like, well, any, like, slightly, well, it's not even a left movement, but be like, people would see it as left. He tried to make it synonymous with Antifa, which is, like, completely wrong.
I completely agree with you there. And, like, you even saw it, like, what was happening in Portland, Oregon, when people were, like, being, like, shoved into unmarked vans, like, protesters, and, like, all that kind of thing. It's just crazy. And I think it's America's descent once again into fascism.
Yeah, indeed. Again, yeah, there's so many cases. Washington, the National Guard being used just against peaceful protesters. I mean, that goes back to the election debate, but at the end of the day, in my opinion, the only way we can sort this out is with former Vice President Joseph R. Biden.
Yes. But it's... I completely forgot what I was going to say. Hold on. Oh, yeah. It's quite scary. What? Because Donald Trump said, stand back, stand by, right? And... people started arguing about what that meant, but the Proud Boys knew what it meant, and they were like, okay, that means we stand by and we get ready to, like, we're like standing in waiting, ready to, like, fight people, right? And I'm like scared of, like, he started talking about poll watchers as well. And so what you see happening at the moment is, like, all these, like, armed, like, kind of essentially militia groups, like, waiting at polls, like, waiting outside polls with, like, guns. And that's, like, insane. That's, like, I think that's bordering on voter suppression, because if you're, like, a slightly impressionable person... it is definitely voter suppression. If you see, like, if you're a slightly vulnerable person, or just anyone, really, and you see, like, a bunch of armed people outside the poll station, that's going to affect your vote. That's not going to go...
It's, well... That is illegal, basically.
Yeah.
Because you're threatening, you are threatening someone to vote in a specific way, which is illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. And it's
it's tyranny.
Yeah, of course. It's very, very scary. Right.
George, I don't know, I just didn't hear much from George. I'm just interested to see what he thinks real quick, or do you not have anything to...
Oh my God!
have you just been sleeping for this part, George?
Yeah,
I've just been listening. It's been interesting to see your take on it. To be honest, I've God, Firstly, I was reading up on the Charlottesville comments. And basically, because I hadn't actually read very much about that, and I only really just heard about it. Basically, what happened was you had, it was to defend a statue, from what I heard, and you had people who were just very, they were very passionate about that statue and the fact that it was an ex-military general and so on. And in context, I think Trump said, he said he was talking about a certain group of that protest on each side, and he did actually within the comment condemn the neo-Nazis and white supremacists. But I don't know. And then I'd
I
also
don't
argue
think it's
that.
enough to just condemn it. I think you need to go,
I
you need
said
to
you
go way
definitely have to
past.
be actively
Yes,
against it.
yeah, I was just about to say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you should, realistically, there should be, especially now, there should be laws that basically outlaw groups like the Proud Boys and the KKK. Even though you've got freedom of speech to such an extent where it's hate crimes.
Yeah, one could argue whether hate speech is like free speech. I'm not sure if it
It
is.
is.
Yeah.
I
No,
completely think it
I think
is.
there's definitely a difference between hate speech and freedom of
Especially when you're
speech.
inciting violence, like you were in
Yeah,
the way
again,
that you
there's a
were.
difference
People for
between hate
hate
absolutely no
speech
reason.
and inciting violence, though. Like, if you just
I
had.
think maybe hate speech by definition sounds like it's inciting violence.
I disagree, because people's definition of hate speech is so varied and so wide that you can't. I completely disagree with the idea that you should restrict
But
speech
what
at
do you
all.
see? What do you see hate speech as then? Like, what's your take on it that makes it acceptable?
Actually inciting violence. So if someone were to say, there's a certain group here, I want you to go and attack them, that's hate speech, and that I obviously that should be banned. But that's not really.
But
But I
effectively,
don't
that's
think
what they're
just
doing.
offending a certain group of people or saying something horrible about a certain group of people should be banned. I think that's stupid. And if you want to talk about fascism, I think that's a perfect example.
But like
Obviously, like.
incite means to encourage or to stir up. Just because you're not saying, "Oh, I think you should go hurt this person,"
Yes,
doesn't mean that
indirectly.
you're not
But I don't
encouraging
think
such stirring it up.
offending someone in the sense of you
I mean, did you hear
call
the kind
someone
of
a
stuff? Did you
derogatory
hear the kind
name.
of stuff that they were saying, though?
No, I haven't,
Like
but just on the.
the chants were something like, "Oh, Jews will not replace us," and stuff like that.
I don't think that should be banned. I don't think you should ban
But George,
people's.
I understand what you're saying because obviously people like if you're just saying something derogatory and it's not actually causing like if that's just your political preference, then obviously that should be that's your free speech. But when you then go as far to say, I hope that you want all this group to die and you want you're basically like encouraging people to attack a certain group. I think that's when it becomes a hate crime.
I see what you mean, but I think there's no way to accurately define it to the
Yeah,
point that you can
obviously,
ban it.
but
I don't
I
think
think
it's.
that's why you have a court system
Yeah.
so that when something like that does happen, it's actually a human decision. Whether that is a hate crime or not, depending on, because then they get to look at the whole context of the situation and in court, and then they get to make a decision based on all of the information.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me because I read so as an example of this, I read an article that was talking about how one of the Labour backbenchers wanted to ban any offensive speech online, and I think that's the point that you get to when you say you want to ban hate
Yeah, well,
speech,
I
and
agree.
that's more what I'm getting at.
I agree with
But
you, but I think everyone kind of agrees with that to a certain
yeah,
degree. Yeah, I don't.
no
I
one's gonna.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's really proposing that. Like, I don't think there's a big support for proposing that. But I think there is a general agreement. If you are inciting violence, then that's not really okay.
Violence is not a good thing.
I think it should be determined on the situation and determined on what the ideas of incitement of violence are.
That's where context and court come into it.
Context, I guess, is a big issue, yeah.
Yeah, no, I do agree. But that's obviously, as Jake said, well, we have people to decide that in courts and all sorts of things like that. But regardless, I think we will wrap the episode up here.
Yes.
It's been
how long have we been going for?
We've been going from 1 hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, well, that's got to be the longest so far.
Maybe. But it's been a very, very lovely episode, Jake. Thank you for joining us. I'm sure you'll be on again.
No problem.
Now you're a distinguished friend of the podcast.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah. And remember, guys, if you want to contact us, you can do that at Oxford Podcast on Instagram or email us at oxfordpodcast@gmail.com with anything, suggestions, feedback. If you just want to talk to us, I mean, I'm sure we've got time in our day to.
We'd love having a chat about all of these affairs. I'm sure we'll be having many chats tomorrow. It's Vice President. That's going to be good.
Yeah, so fun. It's going to be so epic. But anyway, guys, we shall see you later. Catch you on the next time. Goodbye.
Thanks for watching.
Bye.